mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chair is stacking just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running her mouth. She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever.
At some point, we're gonna have to reconcile with the likelihood that the Pacers are going to be in the NBA Finals. I'm not saying that moment is right now, but at some point we're going to have to like come to grips with that. You okay with that?
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Owes him an apology. Huge apology.
Wait, what?
I don't owe him sugar.
Yeah, you do.
What do I owe anybody?
Last year, you thought the Bucks would clean them in four. They lost in five. And then this year, they lost again. You said they were meh. And if you make the NBA Finals, you're not meh. You're a very good team. What do you think of that?
They're going to get, they're going to be blitzed.
Just apologize. Just get it out of the way. Say, sorry, I was wrong.
They're going to get
blitzed. Better than I thought.
They're going to get blitzed by OKC.
There we go. That means they're going to win it all. I'm getting so close with Gabe in the NBA to going opposite Gabe. Just opposite. Sorry.
That's all.
You're still my guy.
No, that's, you know, hey, couples fight sometimes, Chew.
Yeah, they do. Now, fighting is healthy, actually. Did you hear that?
I heard you say it just now.
Is that what you just tell yourself to make yourself feel better?
I don't know. I've heard that. They
I don't
said
think it's
actually
fighting. I think it's disagreeing.
Like conflict. You're saying the phrase, the saying, the
right.
Philosophy.
Yes.
Is disagreement is healthy.
Yes.
Yeah.
The yelling okay. Back and forth, not necessarily the better part.
Saying
of that.
Mean things and trying to hurt each other's feelings, probably not good.
Yeah, but it feels good though. Sometimes.
Just like your trip to the grocery store yesterday, Chew? Yeah. That felt good, didn't it, bud?
Well, it was Monday. There's nothing more painful than shopping with my wife for groceries. And the problem is...
Wait, what are you? Why are you shopping for groceries with your wife? I thought you handled the cooking because you go to the grocery store every day and she like doesn't cook. Wasn't there some incident not that long ago where she's never cooking again?
Yes. But this is what happens. When did we land? I think we landed on Monday. Monday. So we are gone for a while. We try to get rid of everything, you know, the necessities you use day to day. We try to get rid of them, so we got to replenish. So she's like, let's go. And the Angries were having a little get-together, so we had to get some stuff for that. But it's like I've been to a place 50 times. She has never been there, and she wants to drive. And she's not going to listen to anything. I'm like, they treat the grocery store like shopping on Newbury Street in Boston. Oh, let's look at this boutique. I'm going to look at that, but I'm not going to buy it. Now, the one grocery store burned down a mile from me.
Feels like a Publix. Story.
A Publix. So that means all the people at that Publix now go to my Publix. And I don't like crowds, and it's busier than normal. So she does her thing, and I go along with it. So then eventually I break off. I'm like, I can't handle this anymore. I know what we need. Let me go do it.
And hold on a minute. I need to know something. Is it the pace of play that frustrates you?
Jen, it's looking at unnecessary stuff.
Or the lack of direction.
She does not eat vegetables, so why are we in the produce department for 10 minutes?
Well, maybe she's thinking about trying a vegetable.
Look at this kumquat.
Is that a philosophy?
So then I break off and I do my thing, and she gets mad because she's got things in her hand. Why can't you wait for me? Because you're too slow, right? What do you need? I know where it's at. So it was a healthy disagreement.
Because you didn't want to fight in the store?
It's just... She goes from aisle 1 to aisle 7 to aisle 2 to aisle 9 to aisle 3, and I'm like, I've driven this route 50 times. Will you just follow me? And we do not need pasta sauce every single time we go to the store. I've got more Prego in our house than I don't know what to do with.
So I want to be clear. Your issue is that this is your area of expertise.
Correct.
So you expect her to lean on you for direction. You mm-hmm. want her to say, here's what I think we need. Where is it? And you go, well, let me walk you over there. Here are the options. Here's what I like. Here's what you like. Here's what we got last time. Here's what's on sale. This is what I think we should get. Is that, am I following you here?
Yes. Here's the other thing, Jen. Okay. Publix on, it felt like a Sunday, is huge on Sundays, 2 for 1. Buy one, get one free. We are here for another 9 days, right? Just because bread is 2 for 1, you do not need to pick up 2 full loaves.
Well, no, come on now, bread. We know how you feel yes. about bread. You stick a little loafy loaf in the freezer, you come back, you got it for the birds when you get back to Florida.
You can't freeze bread. You can't freeze bread.
We freeze bread.
You can't freeze bread.
All the time. Consistently freeze bread.
You mean you can't?
You stick it in the freezer, and then when
it's terrible.
You can't keep it in the pantry because it sure gets moldy. Can. So you stick it in the freezer, then yeah. when you need it, you sit it out on the counter.
No.
Thaws.
No. It never comes back.
Yes, it does.
Perfect. It never comes back. We are gone until probably October, so it's going to sit in the freezer for May, June, July, August, September. You're not telling me you pull that bread out and it's anywhere close to fresh.
Be hell of a weapon if somebody broke into the house, though. Swing that thing around like a brick.
So if I'm not going to eat the 2 for 1, I just get the 1. Right? Fair?
I think that's fair. If you're not going to take the bread and freeze it and it's just going to go to waste, why pick it up?
Yeah, and then she starts interjecting, well, we'll have this for dinner this week. I'm like, that's not what I use. Well, that's fine. No, that's not what I use. In the cart it goes. Oh. I mean, are you guys like that?
So I could not tell you the last time I went grocery shopping with my wife.
But you do grocery shop.
Yeah, so we do, our system is, so this week is not my week. She went to the grocery store while she had the groceries delivered, but she is responsible for like dinner all week long. So she'll put together the menu, whatever we're having, it's on her. Next week, it'll be my turn. I'll probably on Sunday go to the grocery store, get whatever I need, and now I'm responsible for dinner all of next week. And we just go every other week like that.
A really great routine that you guys have going on over there. Dario works at night, so it's a little tricky to ask him to like, hey, can you make dinner while you're anchoring the 6? You know, that's a tough ask. But they did homemade pizzas the other day, which was very great. Last mm-hmm. night I grilled steaks. Now we have steaks for the week. Mm-hmm. Throw them on a salad, have them for lunch, make a steak sandwich. Like, you know, the steaks will last, but I'll work a few more things in there this week as well. Let me ask you this, guys, because yesterday I did the old Costco run. And I pride myself on being able to get in and get out of Costco. I know what we need. I know where it is. I pop, pop, pop from spot to spot. Feel very efficient doing so. Unlike it sounds like Chewy's wife yesterday at Publix. In any case, I have found myself at times grieving items that Costco no longer carries. Mm. So my kids get used to something. I'll use the beef sticks as an example because that's top of mind. That's yesterday. We've tried all the beef sticks, right? Love having them in the cabinet, easy to grab.
Quick snack.
We're on our way to a baseball game. Here, have a couple beef sticks, right? That type of thing. Chase grabs them for lunch, keeps them in his backpack, all of it. So, but they don't like every beef stick, okay? So we've had bags that we buy and they're like, ugh, this is no good. And the bag sits there. Nobody eats the beef sticks. So we finally landed on a beef stick that everyone loves. So I grab them, 2 bags of them when I'm there. They're in the pantry for grab and go. Get to Costco yesterday to replenish the beef stick supply. Gone. No longer carrying that brand. Mm. I died a little inside. Okay? I had it. And this happens all the time.
Yeah, it's the risk of Costco. Unless you get the Kirkland signature brand, you're running the risk of it no longer being there next time you go.
Has anybody else experienced this? Because yesterday I put this on social media and the response was alarming. A lot of people have gone through this grieving process. And again, I'm being a little bit sarcastic, but there is a like, oh, we were people were like, yeah, we have meals, ready-made meals that they do at Costco. And we get used to them as we roll them into the rotation. And then all of a sudden, no, we're not making that
anymore. How many times did you go up and down the aisle? praying that you somehow just missed. Like, because you go through the first time, you're like, okay, that can't be right. You go through the second time, now you're getting angry. Third time, now you're getting sad, right? Like, now yes. you're starting to come to the realization that you didn't miss anything, and it's just not actually there.
It's you're processing the situation. Yes, because to be honest with you, I thought that they had done that with our Gatorade. My kids get the zero Gatorade, mm-hmm. and I did the beverage aisle. You know, they got the teas, they got the energy drinks, blah, 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 and usually the Gatorade's right there. There was no Gatorade, so I was like, oh, my God. But they had it out on a middle display. So they had pulled all the Gatorade out. It was out on a middle display. So that's where it was. So I had a huge sigh of relief. This is a thing that I don't think we're talking about enough. The grief that you go through. There's like an anxiety now when I go to Costco. Like, please, please, please have what we need. Please, please, please don't have discontinued it. Please, please, please have what we need. I can't be the only person in our listening area that has experienced this going to Costco. It sounds like you're familiar with it, but you've accepted it.
Yeah, yeah, you just accept it. When you find something at Costco, like a lot of times we're a big LaCroix family, love having the LaCroix. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. It's really a flip of the coin at this point. And the good news with the LaCroix is if it's not there, it just means I have to pay more for it at a regular grocery store. That's just a bummer.
Bubblies are better than the LaCroix.
All right, well, pivot. Talk to my wife about that. You can enter the negotiation phase of bubbly being better than LaCroix with my wife, and then I'll start buying the bubblies.
Before you do, though, Chew, let's reflect on how the disagreement with your wife went yesterday.
Okay.
And then decide if it's worth it to then also disagree with Gabe's wife about something.
He's on a roll. Like, he's just feeling it.
I just get anxiety every time I got it. And most times I suck it up. But like I said, the one place that burned down, so now there's twice as many people. I'm like, kind of lost it. Not going to lie.
Wait, can I ask, when's the last time your wife had a vegetable? Is she like Al Michaels where she's never had one?
I mean, is corn a vegetable? Has no nutritional value
to
it.
Oh, but we had some corn on the cob last night with dinner.
Yeah.
More of a starch.
So good.
Especially when you lather it with butter.
It's salt.
And another thing that I don't just.
What? What else happened? Come on, we got a couple more minutes here.
Why does the salad have to go on the plate when I put it in a bowl? I don't understand that. I don't understand it.
Wait, as opposed to what?
Take it out of the bowl and put it on the plate. It's already in a bowl.
Are you guys now arguing over the vessel that the salad is coming in? Is this foreplay for you guys? Is that what's happening here?
No, it's another dish that I have to wash.
Hold on.
Right?
You put it in a bowl, like a separate bowl. So there's the mixing bowl.
Correct.
That you put it together, and you put it in a bowl for her, and she said, no, I would prefer it on my plate.
She doesn't even say that. She just pulls it out of the bowl and puts it on her plate.
So she just
How
transfers?
How weird is that? Huh? Is that weird?
Oh, can't you eliminate the middleman? Can't you get rid of that bowl that is clearly it's holding the salad?
I mean,
for what?
Salad deserves to be in a bowl.
Wow. All right.
Am I right?
Hey, he's the Lorax over here. He speaks for the trees.
I mean, I guess it kind of depends. Like, if I'm making a side salad, like if I have something that has like a sauce that the sauce is going to like probably bleed over to the salad, yes, I'll make sure the salad is separate in a bowl. But if that's about the only time I'm using a bowl and not
bowls
just putting
are
it on
the
side.
Bowls are made for salad. I'm sorry. They just
cereal.
Bowls are made for soup.
Yeah. She doesn't like soup, though. It's a good thing. More for me. So, I'm not going to win. It's not like I'm arguing and all her rats out there are going to tell her. I know I'm not going to win.
When's the last time you did win?
I don't win.
A lot of reaction rolling in here, guys. And I appreciate that people are very supportive about all of our things. Terry weighing in saying, Jen is right about the bread. I've baked and froze fresh bread since I was a kid. It thaws out just like it was made. Chef Ed also weighing in saying, you can certainly freeze bread. If it's closed properly, it will taste just as fresh when thawed. And then I got a bunch of people. I mean, like, on the Costco thing. A lot of people have experience with this. Let's see. My favorite chicken fillets have been gone from Costco for 5 months. I will still stop by that section every time, hoping they reappear. That from John in the 262. Justin in Jacksonville says, my son loves the yogurt pouches. We used to buy them 2 boxes at a time, but the last couple times, they haven't been there. Jen, I have experienced this as well. You got to look for it online. That from Chris in the 262. And then Brandon says, I had to grieve an entire bakery once. As a child, I spent my summer weeks at my grandparents' house. Grandpa would bring us donuts on Friday. Best maple bars ever. Icing was incredible. Bakery closed 15 years ago. I have spent all these years looking for a maple bar just as good. Half as good, he says. This is a real thing. The grieving of products is a real thing. Ryan says, maybe you suck at grocery shopping. What? Oh, no. He's saying, you're saying this to your wife. There's a whole list of things here, including I love your bleep, which we talked about. Was that about a year ago at this time? Chewy, my son brought that up to me the other day. He said, has Chewy mentioned how he loves his wife's bleep lately? I said, no, that hasn't come up.
I mean, not to us. Not to us or one of their
kids. I mean,
kids.
You don't compliment your spouses with just a random text during the day, no?
I mean, not, again, that's very sweet that you do that.
Yes.
That's fantastic. When you folded in Nolan, that's when it got awkward.
Yeah,
let's cut the crap here. He's not doing it out of the goodness of his heart.
There's what are you saying? I'm trying to get something?
Yes, exactly.
Look at you picking up what Josh is putting down. All right, we're all warmed up. We're all stretched out here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Lots of stuff to get to today. Is there some Giannis news? Is there a development in the Giannis situation? There certainly seems to be a development in the Jair situation. Why do I feel like we've been talking about these two things for years? It's only been a few months still. It feels like years. We'll get to all of that this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
At the Ewald Automotive Group, they don't just see the uniform, they see the people in them. They will service those who serve, our brave first responders. Thank you for your dedication, sacrifice, and for keeping us safe. As always, service members and their families can benefit from the Military Advantage program with special pricing and incentives on every vehicle. And for every new car sold this month, Ewald will make a donation to local military and first responder charities. Thank you from the Ewald Automotive Group. As always, it starts at ewaldauto.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He hates the ending of all comedies. Apparently doesn't like happy endings.
I love happy endings. Don't take it that far.
Maybe that's a vote for Groundhog Day for you.
On 94.5 ESPN.
It started with a whisper, and now between I kissed her, and then she met my lips, I can hear the chit-chat, sipping to your love.
Back here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, and a bit of a plot twist with the Jair Alexander saga in Green Bay. I know there's a lot of people who thought that it was a foregone conclusion that he would not be in green and gold this season, but whoop, maybe, just maybe, that will not be the case. The Packers are hoping to get cornerback Jair Alexander to take a pay cut, and they have presented him and his agent with the framework of such a deal. They've proposed this restructured contract. Jair has not signed it yet, but it sounds like a step towards maybe having Jair back as a defensive back for the Green Bay Packers this year.
Does it?
So I'm glad we're doing this. Walk me through what you think this development means.
So the report came from The Athletic and Matt Schneidman yesterday. And the paragraph, which is the second in his story, according to a source with knowledge of the situation, the Packers have proposed a restructure contract to Alexander, which tangibly demonstrates their interest in retaining the two-time All-Pro cornerback during an offseason, which they have been open to trading him. All right, so if this is such a great contract, how come he hasn't signed it?
Because he doesn't want to take a pay cut.
No, he's shopping it. My guess is he's shopping it. See, here's the thing, right? My guess is they will get him up to the 17.5, Gabe?
16.1. Is that what you're talking about?
His base salary for 2025.
His incentives will get him up to that number. But it's what is the guaranteed base number? My guess, if it's anything under 10, there's probably a good chance he's going to go pound sand. And based upon prior contracts and offers that the Packers have given good players, my guess is it's not 10, and that's why he hasn't signed it right away. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, like to me, if this was truly a tangibly great contract, the way that the Packers are trying to paint this. And again, I guess I'm just assuming that this is coming from the Packers side of things, because if it was such a great contract, Jair would have signed it. But to me, that's just the with putting out words like that without putting an actual number behind it is you're saying one thing, but you're actually doing another. Much like with Aaron Jones, he's going to be on the team.
Yeah.
And then they lowball him on the offer and end up cutting him.
But is it a lowball, quote unquote? And I understand completely what you're saying. The reputation that Green Bay has, use Aaron Jones as an example. Yes, we all know how that shook out. Some would even call that offer insulting to a player of Aaron Jones' caliber. In this instance, though, is it lowballing a guy if he's played 16 of 37 possible games? Is it lowballing or is it saying, like, we want you on the team. We want you to play all of the games. But if you don't, we're going to pay you for what you do play. Like, to me, that seems like smart business, Chew.
It is, but you can offend the player. I mean, if they came back and said, all right, we'll guaranteed five with the ability to make up another 11, I'd go tell them the pound sand, too. I'd be forget it.
But what if the alternative is not playing? Because, again, I know we mentioned this yesterday with Adam Schefter, and I know Adam Schefter said it was apples to oranges, essentially. But with Jalen Ramsey now being on the market, and I know, again, you guys can tell me about all the distinctions between the two, including the numbers and the price, I feel like that puts the Packers in a position of leverage. Because if a team wants to go out and get a cornerback, now it's not just Jair as the in-case-of-emergency break-glass option. You also have Jalen Ramsey out there that you could go out and get.
Trey doesn't seem like an option anymore. Like, this is either restructure or cut, right?
If
they could trade him, they would have already done it.
But hold on. If he's cut, then he's free to go wherever he wants.
Correct.
That's where I'm talking about, guys. I'm talking about, like, on the open market. If there's a team out there that finds itself in need of a CB1-ish, and they chose not to go after Jair when it was a trade option, him being cut, I feel like, isn't as much of a position of power as he may think it is because the Jalen Ramsey situation is out there.
Well,
if he gets cut, like, teams, like, it's a position of power for Jair. Like, yeah, maybe a team wants to try to swoop in, but you're still not going to pay him the 16-1. That's the problem. Like, nobody's going to swoop in and trade for
him. But again, the caveat there for Jair is always going to be, what are we paying for? How many games are we getting of you?
Sure, but if somebody out there is willing to pay more than what the Packers are, which I'm guessing I'm with Chewy. Like, okay, Jair and his agent have the number. Now his agent can kind of quietly shop that around. Okay, hey, would you be willing to give more than this? If my guy got cut, would you be willing to give more than this? Because it seems like Jair, and I know part of the report is, he's going to show up to the mandatory mini. Yeah, because he wants to collect his $700,000. Right? He's going to show up. He's going to collect his $700K. And he's probably not going to do anything until all of this is resolved, but he still wants to be able to collect his money. Like, ultimately, the Packers aren't going to pay the 16-1, and if this is them going, hey, this is what we're willing to pay you, and if he says no, then you have to cut him.
And let's keep in mind, you guys are forgetting this big nugget. This is a contract year. So he wants to go out and play 17 games, ball out, make the Pro Bowl, because then he's going to get paid again. But my question to you is, what is scaring teams off? The fact that he won't play unless he's 100% or the fact that he's a turd?
I don't know if he's a turd. I think he's just more of like a
guy that I would describe as going out to be a captain when he wasn't supposed to be a captain. In my book, he's a turd.
Look, I think that's a turd move. 100%, yeah. 1,000,000%. I do think that it was sort of like an anomaly. I think the way I've always read Jair is he's a little odd. He's a little different.
Yeah.
I think Jason has even told us that. I don't think he's a turd teammate. I don't think Xavier McKinney's over there hanging out with him in the offseason, no matter how much you might want him back there, you know, helping you out on the defense, if he's a turd.
Yeah, the biggest thing, due $16.1 million as a base salary, and he's played 16 of the last 37 games.
All I'm saying is this. I'll take 100% of players going into a contract year over a player that is in the middle of a contract.
He's got 2 years left, Chew.
Yeah, but he's not around next year, you think?
No, but I also, again, if you restructure, like, yeah. I'm still not sold that he's going to be around this year.
I just want to make sure that I'm clear on this, though, Gabe. You don't think that this is an empty gesture contract, do you?
No.
You don't think that this is some sort of way of the team being like, look at how great we are. You know, we had all these things happen with Jair, but we recognize there is value there. We want to bring him back into the fold. He's part of the family, you know, so we are going to extend it. Because that's what it sort of felt like with Aaron Jones. Sort of felt like an empty gesture with Aaron Jones. But this, you're saying, doesn't qualify as that.
I think this is a low ball. Low, it, low,
It very well could if we ever find out the number, right? Like, if we never found out the number with Aaron Jones, like, it would be hard to say, okay, that was kind of an empty gesture. If we never find out what the number is.
Well, just look what they did with Devontae. Look what they did with Aaron Jones. You think all of a sudden, Jair, they're going, yeah, we'll give you $13 million.
Yeah, well, that is the question. Is this an actual negotiation? Or is this the Packers going, hey, this is what we're willing to pay you? He says no.
No more, no less.
And again, then he's gone. I'm not reading this as, oh, Jair's coming back. He's going to be a Packer in 2025. No. That's not how I read this at all. Because if this contract was so star-spangled awesome, the report yesterday would have been Jair accepted a pay cut.
But why would the Packers give him an awesome deal if he hasn't performed or been available to the level that they want him to?
Okay, so in your mind, what does tangibly demonstrates their interest mean?
It could be as simple as they want him back. We're offering you a contract. We would like to have you back, but it has to be on our terms.
Then you're not actually interested in having him back.
What do you mean?
If it has to be on our terms and it's not a negotiation, then just release him.
Well, but they're interested in having him back. They're just interested in having him back
at a lesser
pay price.
It's just, we'd love to have you back at this exact
cost.
Correct,
exactly.
Which isn't tangibly demonstrating your interest.
I guess I'm not getting hung up on the lyricism of that. I think it's...
Well, it's just, the reason why I'm getting hung up on it is because I've never seen it before in a contract negotiation.
What would be fair? You guys give me a number. What would be fair? What would be fair? Incentives?
Yeah.
And then
10
base?
Yeah.
10 base with a chance to, you know, so 10 base and then it's what?
I guarantee you they didn't offer 10 base.
Yeah. I'm thinking it's around 6 to 8.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what? Eight base and then
you just incentivize
500K, around 500K a game?
Yeah. You just incentivize it all the way up to him playing complete season. You incentivize Pro Bowl. You incentivize even performance. Hey, you have 3 or more interceptions. Here's $200,000.
Kind of like what we saw when they, I mean, think about all the different bonuses they had in Jordan Love's contract and that little mini one that he signed before the big one.
Yeah. Why would they not do something like that?
And again, I have no issue with that, honestly. Like, granted, I'm not Jair Alexander. I'm not Jair Alexander's agent. But I have no issue with a team saying, look, we recognize your value when available. If you're available, we have no issue rewarding you for that availability. And I got no problem with that. And frankly, Jair has put himself in this position based on the unavailability?
Inavailability?
Unavailable. Thank you. Unavailability. Like, he's opened the door for them to be able to present it this way. If he doesn't want to play, turn down the contract.
He's truly a unique case in all the NFL in terms of games missed. There are few and far between, without having like devastating career altering injuries, to be missing the amount of games he has for the, I mean, we point to the last two seasons. This goes back 4+. The Najee Harris hit is where this all starts.
That actually made sense because that was a season ending injury.
But then from that point forward, his inconsistency and his inability to stay on the field has been a lingering issue, and it's really became a point of contention this past 2 years.
What was last year's? His PCL?
It was the knee against...
Which didn't even require... Did it require surgery?
No.
So it's just like... He doesn't have a lot of tread. He's missed the last 2 years. He's still under 30. I mean, I tore my PCL and I was back in 2 games.
Yeah, he tore
his... what?
Tore his PCL.
Yeah, which heals. It doesn't even require surgery.
He did undergo surgery earlier this year.
Cleanup? Basically, all I'm saying is when he is on the field, they're a better team.
And the Packers agree with you. And that's why they're making this offer. We don't know what the numbers are. We don't know what the offer exactly is. But that's what they're saying as well. But they're also saying, hey, we're not going to pay you this number if we're getting the same percentage of you in the upcoming season. Because they recognize that that's a bad deal for them.
Yeah, and he's going to want to get the most guaranteed money he can get.
Does this change your opinion of what will happen with Jair Alexander? Gabe, it sounds like you're still in the...
No, I think there's still a chance that he accepts it and comes back. It all depends upon what his agent can find out through the back channels. I still think it's 60-40 he's gone.
You think this is a hard line? Like, no, we're not going anywhere.
So that's what I'm curious about. Like, is this actually a negotiation? Or, because, I mean, I guess you tell me, Chewy, because you played in the league, and, yeah. and you know guys that went through this. When you get offered a pay cut.
Which I did.
That's usually it, right? Like, they come to you, they ask if you'll take this pay cut, here's what we're willing to offer. You say no. It's usually not a negotiation after that point. It's just like, okay, see you later. That's the way things work. They didn't even go to Jordy, go to Charles Woodson, guys like that. They just straight up cut them without even asking, because Jordy famously would have taken a pay cut to stick around in Green Bay.
That's why I have no faith that he's coming back, because what they offered me was fair. It was fair. Totally fair. Ron? No, that's fair.
Did you think it was fair in the moment?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, clearly the lack of trade interest shows us that the Packers hold all the cards here. It's our way or the highway, and that's the way they're approaching it. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of, well, we'll give you this more. Like, here's how we're going to do it. Take it or leave it. We're fine.
I know.
And I think acquiring Nate Hobbs this offseason also puts them in a position of strength. Even if he's not at the level of Jair, even if his best days will never match Jair Alexander's best days, they're like, yeah, but we got this guy in the offseason. Like, we would love to have you back, but we got that Meat Lover's Pizza in the trunk.
But the fear is that he goes to a Super Bowl contender. Is that for spite he goes to Philadelphia, he goes to Detroit, he goes to Minnesota. That's the fear, right?
And then plays well.
And then plays well. We'll
just run the ball at him. He'll leave. He'll quit.
800-990-3776. That's our Carbless talk and text line. You can always weigh in, get in with the show on the Carbless talk and text line. You can also weigh in on the YouTube stream, on the YouTube comments at ESPN Milwaukee. We'll work on a poll on this for the Infinity Exterior poll. Does it make it more likely that Jair is back? Do you feel like he is more likely that Jair is a member of the Green Bay Packers with this offer, with this deal that the Packers have extended to him? Let us know. 800-990-3776. So much more to get to this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Stick around.
Doesn't matter what age you are, low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. That's where Mentality comes in. They are a local healthcare facility specifically dedicated to helping men feel and perform at their very best. Look, you've heard me talk about Mentality for years at this point. So what are you waiting for? If you're tired, groggy, just don't feel like yourself, don't have that energy to attack your day. Those are all signs of low testosterone. To find out if it is low testosterone or not, just contact Mentality. Go to lowtusa.com. Book an appointment on their website. Go through the process to find out. And then it's up to you. If your testosterone levels come back low, you can work with Mentality and they can get you a customized testosterone treatment plan just for you. It's worked for me. I've got the energy. I feel great. This can be you as well. Go to lowtusa.com. Mentality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Find out more about Mentality. lowtusa.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The other side of the world, and I'll let you know if I want to come back and coach your little game.
He's Jen Peterman.
Ian Rappaport tweeting yesterday, and I thought this was interesting.
Oh,
the Broncos
Burma?
The last 2 weeks. Are you guys done?
I got more.
On 94.5 ESPN. But I'm thinking
it's time for a change. Finding money in your house can be a lot easier than you think, because at Great Midwest Bank, they have a simple approach to turning your home's value into cash with their locally serviced home equity loans. And since they take the time to get to know you, your loan and line of credit is fast and easy and can pay for whatever you want. You want a boat? You need new appliances? Maybe you're thinking about building a pool or a new furnace. Well, you're not going to build the furnace. You're going to purchase the furnace. You're going to build the pool, maybe, or hire someone. Either way, Great Midwest Bank can help you with that. Experience your state of banquility at greatmidwestbank.com. That's greatmidwestbank.com. Let's get to some of your reaction, folks weighing in on the Jair Alexander development. Dave from Aaron says, if Alexander goes to an NFC contender, he would get trucked by Kraft or Jacobs. But I want him back if it works financially, so cut the crap, Jair. Just sign on the dotted line. Fair, Chew?
No.
I mean, I just trashed him, but then you're like, oh, actually, though, I want you back. It's kind of an interesting double thought to have in the head.
I mean, if the number's $5 million, he's not going to take $5 million. I mean, you can't insult the guy. and then expect them to sign. If it's fair, it's fair.
But again, if you're putting incentives in the deal, how are you insulting him?
I mean, there's always, with him, there's probably a bigger chance of injury. You know, the player has to CYA as well. I mean, he can't be insulting. That's all I'm saying. If the number is five, he's not going to take it.
What if he can recoup all of it through playing as many games as possible?
I wouldn't do it. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, you still want guaranteed money here.
That's what every contract is about. Yeah, right. Elton Jenkins.
You have to protect yourself to some degree.
And doesn't the team have to protect itself?
Yeah, that's a great quandary we're caught in here.
It's where negotiation comes into play.
Well, I think if you polled most people, who are you more loyal to? I think the Packers are going to win by a landslide.
Sure, players come and go. The G remains. I guess I just don't think that the Packers are playing this wrong. Again, not knowing the number, too, because it sounds like you're saying the big caveat here is they could be, quote unquote, insulting him with a very low offer. But it feels like the Packers are doing what is in their best interest, what is in the team's best interest, which is we know we've got a really good player here, but his issue is availability. And when he's not available, he's no good to us. There's zero value. It's not like you can say, you know what Jaire is?
Yeah.
He's a great locker room guy. So even when he's not playing, Gabe, we're getting value out of Jaire. Like, that's not part of this deal.
Well, and I wouldn't expect the Packers to do anything else but act in the best interest of themselves. But then don't expect a player to do anything but act in the best interest of themselves.
But they were trying to trade him anyway. So there's a part of them that's like, well, he goes.
Jen, if the number's five and Detroit says, would be highly insulting from a player standpoint, if the number's five, and then his agent goes to Detroit and said, will you give him five? Will you match that? And they say, yeah. He's gone. He's like, okay, screw you. I'm going to stick it to you.
So now what I'm hearing is, and I think this is an excellent point by you, it's less about insulting the athlete personally. It's more about don't insult him to the point where he'll take a comparable deal for a rival and then burn you on the field.
Correct. Yes.
I can get behind that.
Yeah.
I mean I'm sure Aaron Jones had probably, I mean, I'm sure he had other offers. You know, I don't think him going to Minnesota was coincidence.
It's a crazy random happenstance that the Vikings offered the most money.
I mean, look at all the players that have gone to Minnesesota.
Yeah. It's been almost a direct, it's unbelievable. Yeah. Unbelievable the amount of people that have gone to Minnesota. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know what it is from Green Bay, but from Milwaukee, it's about a 40-minute flight on Delta. So very convenient, if you will. Look, we'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to this morning, but it sounds like people are very invested in the saga. One person, Joshy, even suggesting that we bust out the Green Bays of our lives again. We haven't busted out Green Bays of our lives since, what, Rodgers?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, did we think about it during the Love contract because he was holding in?
I don't remember. It's a good little pop, though. It's a good little drop.
Oh, yeah.
Are we there?
The rerun. I mean, it's not a new season. It's just a rerun.
Wouldn't there have to be some sort of, like, insubordination here or...
Yeah, because I don't know if anybody's necessarily done anything, like, out of the ordinary.
Right.
Player acting in the best interest of himself, team acting in the best interest of themselves. They're trying to meet in the middle. They more than likely won't. Right?
That's what it feels like to me. We need more drama. He would need to say stuff.
Good call.
Yes.
I don't want to make more drama. We're just saying that in order for it to cross the threshold of Green Bay's of our life, we're not there yet. Here's the thing. Does Jaire want to play football or not?
Yes.
Do you think that other teams are past the checkpoint of adding a cornerback?
No.
What do you think that point is?
Next season?
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
You think they could add him?
He's good enough that somebody's going to take a flyer.
Yeah.
Like he's not a bum. Like when he plays really well, he is one of the top 10 corners in this league. Again, the issue for him is availability. But somebody, when you have that kind of talent, someone's always going to take a flyer on you. Like always going to take a flyer.
Yeah, this isn't a Bakhtiari thing where...
Yeah, where you just don't know if he's going to be healthy or not, right?
Yeah.
Like, Well, you've had three knee surgeries at this point, you know.
Jair's had nothing major, right? I mean, he probably had his shoulder cleaned out. Yeah.
The shoulder kept him out for the rest of the year.
Yeah, but I can make the argument, guys, that it's that like nebulousness, it's that ambiguity that is messing him up as well. Because that's where you have the disagreement from the organization standpoint and the player standpoint of, can you go? No.
Yeah.
Yes. Right? If it were a severe thing, everybody's on the same page and they're going, you can't go. Great. We agree. That's part of what is contributing to the drama, if you will, here, the saga, if you will, with Jair. We got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Still a lot of stuff to get to, but it is very interesting. People are very interested in how this all shakes out with the Green Bay Packers. We'll be right back after this.
Let me tell you about our friends at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. No better time to upgrade your windows and doors than right now, because Pella is offering up to 6 years, 0% financing. I'm going through it right now. Just had the final measurements for the front door we're getting at our house. People from Pella, great guys from Pella, swung by yesterday. I filled out all the paperwork, and now I have 6 years of 0% financing for the front door that I'm going to be getting. It's fantastic, because I was able to look at a lot of different options of what I wanted that front door to look like, because they have unbelievable customizations, seemingly endless customizations to make your dream a reality. So set up that free in-home consultation, commit to nothing at this point, and just go through the process. See if you need those new windows, those new doors, and then get up to 6 years of 0% financing. Certain restrictions apply. Deal ends May 31st, 2025. So visit PellaWI.com today. Make sure you tell them that Gabe Neitzel sent you.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
A freaking catapult attached to his right hip. Like, I just made that up. A catapult.
That was good.
I kind of liked it. I was rolling with it, Rob.
Like a slingshot? What's this?
I'm calling old catapult leg from here on out.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Big win for the Milwaukee Brewers last night. Fantastic. Gabe, you were at the game taking on the Boston Red Sox. Went to extras. And then Christian Yelich with the walk-off grand slam. Got the Gatorade bath afterward. It has been a frustrating, challenging. Every time I turn on a Brewers game, I'm like, what do we got here? Like, you know, what are we going to get here? You know, for a while, the score of the game, Chew, was 1-0. You know,
like, for the longest time, it was nothing. Only run of the game and scored on a wild pitch.
So Gabe, well, how was the environment last night at AmFam?
It was great. The Brewers put together a rally in the eighth, and then a lot of people left after they didn't cash in the eighth.
Oh, well, I proverbially left as well, because I went back to the basketball game.
But then Yelly got it started. Like, they rallied in the ninth to tie the game and then won it in extras. But smaller ballpark, smaller crowd, because they were sold out yesterday. It's only like 26,000 people there yesterday.
What were you wearing for a shirt?
I had a red hoodie on.
That's kind of weak. A little weak. I mean, you're supporting the colors, but kind of lame. I think it's lame.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Fair?
I had my Red Sox hat on.
Oh, you had a hat on?
Yeah. All right. I had a hat on.
Gabe, with a hat? No.
All right, I take it back, Gabe. That's fine.
Chew, were you aware that this was the first... Is it a first walk-off?
First career walk-off home run. For Christian Yelich.
Christian Yelich never had a walk-off home run.
Wow. Yeah, that is a little shocking.
He had 5 career walk-off hits before that, and so this is a 6th career walk-off hit, first walk-off home run, which he said he didn't realize until he was, like, rounding first base. And he was like, oh, I guess the game's over. This is kind of weird.
Never done it before.
I mean, are you guys fine where they're at right now? I'm fine.
Really? I'm not fine. I'm uncomfortable.
Nah, they're fine. Again, they got to start hitting better. Like, you've hit the major spots in the baseball season. You know, you hit Memorial Day. You look where you're at in the standings. Yeah, you're not where you want to be. 6.5 behind the Cubs, 3 behind the Cardinals. But you're .500. You're not out of it by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But you have to start hitting better, including Yelich and Churio and Contreras. Like, those are three guys that you were counting on to be the studs of your lineup, and they've been okay at best, and their offense has struggled because of it. Pitching's been fine. Pitching's been great. Third best starting ERA in baseball. Like, yeah, pitching, you can win with that type of pitching. The offense has to be better, and by the time we get to the 4th of July, by the time we get to trade deadline talks, They got to be better.
Will
there have be, to be
will
better.
Be, will there be two teams coming out of the Central or no? One?
Probably one.
Okay, I don't
because
feel good
because
right
the
now.
West. I mean, everybody thought the East, like the West, is better than everybody thought this year.
I changed my mind.
You don't? Oh, good. Interesting how when you're presented with more information.
Yeah.
I can't believe Gabe was there to witness a walk-off on a school night, especially after Memorial Day.
The game started at 6:40. I was home by 9:45.
Yeah, Josh, you was sawing logs.
That eighth inning, you should have been out of there.
No. You can't leave a game
catch
early.
Catch on the radio. I haven't seen the end of a sporting event in a decade plus.
Really?
The hell am I doing there?
You're a bad fan.
I got other places to be.
No, you don't.
Yeah, home.
You have literally bad. No place to be.
Well, last night it was definitely dreamland. Joshy tells us he goes to bed at 8, falls asleep by 9. Whew. All right, more Jen, Gabe, and Chewy after this.